Today, our scripture is two. The first one is 2 Corinthians 10, 1 to 6. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And the second is Philippians 4, and I think the bulletin just says it's 8 and 9, but I'm going to back it up to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if every sermon that we heard on a Sunday morning and, you know, spoke to our hearts, that it would be easy for us to live out and follow through. But I'm not sure that's the case. Some things are a little harder to follow than others. But if we did that, our lives would constantly be more peace-filled, anxious-free, joyful, and so much more. Recently, I've been contacted by several of our young adults who have struggled with the thoughts running through their head. I'm not talking about inappropriate thoughts, although sometimes that can be an issue too, but more the self-talk that we do inside our heads. For example, if it is a medical issue, we can think the worst even before we get a final diagnosis. If it is a decision that needs to be made, we worry that we're going to make the wrong choice. If it's a money issue, we worry that we will not have what it needs to make a payment. And if it is a problem with another person, we often think things that might not even be true. Sometimes we completely misjudge the situation. We see and begin to think negative thoughts either about ourselves or about others. Sometimes we act as if God isn't even there. We become so consumed with trying to handle things on our own. I mean, isn't that what the world teaches us? That we should be self-sufficient and self-reliant and try to do things on our own? And what shouldn't we be thinking about number one, meaning ourselves? I have to admit that I've done exactly what I'm trying you to encourage you not to do. I had thought that I must be the only one who struggles with internal thoughts, and I needed to learn how to control them. I would try and do that, but was not very successful most of the time. Unfortunately, I would run out of options as to what I could do in a particular situation. And then that was when I would turn to God, desperate, anxious, begging for help, and having other negative emotions. As I was pondering this sermon, I did some online searches to see if I could really bring this word to you, to encourage you and share with you what I believe is the best way to handle some of our self-talk before we get to the desperate, anxious, depressed, or worried state. My online searches actually showed me some interesting stuff. First, it helped me to realize that I was not alone in the way my mind handled some difficult situations. That alone was a great encouragement to me. That is just another example of what I was thinking that was untrue. Second, I saw many helpful how-to advice articles that anyone can read to help them to change the way that they think. Third, there were many scientific articles and talk about why we think, the things we do, and how our mind works. It also had an article on how we can work to heal our body through our thoughts. There are some fascinating articles you can find in a single search. But then I began to realize that if there were this many articles about what we think, how we think, there must be people out there who are thinking the same thing that I am or are struggling with it as well. So on top of that and the idea that others had contacted me for scripture references, I realized that it was something that a lot of us deal with and that we need to be aware of. We especially need to be aware of what God's promises are to help us in this area. It is my goal to remind you. I believe that the two scriptures that were read today are just a very small sample of what God's word says to us about changing what our minds think to what God wants us to think. I am hopeful that these two scriptures will remind you of what God wants for us. I truly believe that the one thing we can lack is standing on the promises of God. If we took more time doing that and reminding ourselves of God's love and care for us, we might be more ready to trust God in our difficult situations rather than jumping into the negative mode of anxiety, depression, and helplessness. Let's look at Philippians 4 first. I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm really feeling at peace in the midst of even a difficult situation, it is difficult for me to be anxious. Philippians 4 gives us a recipe for being at peace and not being anxious. It says, first, we should rejoice in the Lord. If we have a difficult time doing this or knowing what to do, we can take some of the lines of the Psalms. David had wrote many opportunities of where he rejoiced in the Lord, was thankful to God for what God was doing. Psalm 100, which is a very short psalm, is perfect for this. It begins with, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And even if you just read that first verse and think about, okay, what does it mean to worship the Lord with gladness? We just really need to be expressing to God sort of in a prayer our thankfulness for all that he's done for us, for the ways that we have seen him moving in our lives, those kinds of things. And then as the psalm continues on, it says, it is he who made us. So we can say, God, thank you for creating me. And thank you that you call me your child and that I am one of the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, I want to enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise because you deserve that praise. And as we shift and do that, as we're reading a psalm or reading scripture, our whole mindset changes. Our focus goes away from the situation we might be into and focuses on God. And honestly, I've been finding that doing the 12 noon Lord's Prayer it's not quite the middle of the day, but it's in the middle of a work day. And if things aren't going well in the morning, I can stop and say, oh, it's time to do the Lord's Prayer. And not just say the Lord's Prayer, but add to it. And it changes my whole focus as to what's going on. So when thoughts are not helpful to you and they creep in, stop and rejoice in the Lord. Second, Philippians 4 said we should let our gentleness be evident to all, reminding us the Lord is near. I mean, doesn't that give you peace right there, knowing that God is always with us and near to us? Thank him for always being near, even when you have drifted from him. Repent if you feel like you're not as near to him as you would like, but promise that you will try harder. By stopping in the middle of our anxious thoughts that we are having, we remember who God is and that God is with us, and we should find peace. However, Philippians 4 says, if that doesn't work, you're still anxious. It says we should, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present our requests to God. I think this is probably one of the harder things to do, turning it all over to God and trusting that God is with us and that we no longer need to be worrying about it can be very difficult. But once we do this, we will feel peace, and Christ will guard our hearts and our minds, which is our thought patterns. I look at this as a promise of God. We are given this recipe for what we should do, and we hear how God will respond. What can also help is thinking of these things. You're supposed to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. And as we learn, receive, and hear from God through his word, then God will bring a peace into our hearts. Put another way, whatever teaching from the Bible that we read or hear about, we must put into practice. In one commentary of Philippians, it said, "To be anxious is always a sin because anxiety is a sign of lack of faith." And when I read that, I had to stop and think on that. You know, I do sometimes have the tendency to be anxious or worry about things, but I really never looked at it as a sin nor a lack of faith. But we are called not to worry because we know and hopefully have experienced God as our loving and all-powerful Heavenly Father. And we believe that he will take care of his children. I believe that if we obey what Philippians is saying to us, it will be easier to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10. At my other church, during our weekly staff meeting, the senior pastor lately has been having us read the words to the hymns of Charles Wesley and turning them into our prayer. Last Tuesday, he had us praying hymn number 417. Now, I would have had us sing that today since I was going to reference it, but honestly, I'd never heard of that hymn, nor did I know the tune. And I've asked other people, and they said, no, I haven't heard of that one either, but it is in our hymnal. This is another way we can refocus our thoughts if they are going down a negative path. Listen to the words of this hymn, especially in one verse that really spoke to me, because I was pondering on, you know, this sermon, and I read that verse and I'm like, oh, there's confirmation that I probably should be talking about this. But in the one verse it says, "A heart in every thought is renewed and full of love divine, perfect, right, pure, and good." Charles Wesley himself either struggled with these kinds of thoughts or knew of others who struggled with them. And he wrote the words to that hymn back in 1742. So you see, this is nothing new. People have been struggling with this for a long time. And I really thought that all the words to that hymn are just really powerful. And so I'm going to read this to you as a prayer, because I think, it, for me at least, during the staff meeting, it became a really great prayer. So in case you want to follow along, it is hymn 417. But just say, "Oh God, I desire a heart to praise you, a heart from sin set free. I want a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me." And then we could say, "God, thank you for sending Christ who shed his blood just for me. I want a heart resigned, submissive, meek. I want to go before your throne where you, Jesus, is heard to speak to me. I want to hear your voice, Lord, because I know that's where you reign. I want a humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean heart, which neither life nor death can part, because Christ dwells within me. I want a heart in every thought, where every thought is renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a heart that is just like yours, Lord. I ask that you give me your nature, Lord, impart it into me. Come quickly from above, write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love." I don't know about you, but I was blessed by the words of that song. And it did become a prayer that I intend to use in the future. If we have a heart that praises God regularly, we will have a mind that is focused on him and not the negative thoughts that can beat us up or be critical of others. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul was a man who cared about the people he was ministering to. This letter shows that he cares by letting them know that what they are doing is wrong, and he's trying to help them change for the better. You actually will see that a lot in his letters to the people. In this letter, he is reminding them that some are living by the standards of this world. By this, he means that although Paul lives in the world, he is not living by the standards of this world, nor does he wage war as the world does. He doesn't fight like other men does with arrows and swords. He doesn't fight with deception or by slandering others. No, he uses spiritual weapons which have divine power, weapons that have the power to demolish strongholds and will ruin the schemes of the enemy. I was reading one commentary and it said that the thoughts of men who live by the standards of this world are not like the thoughts of God. Only a new man in Christ can have the thoughts of Christ and God. The arguments and every pretension of natural, worldly men are opposed to the knowledge of God. We can say that, in a sense, the mind of a natural man is Satan's stronghold, and the thoughts of natural man are Satan's messengers and soldiers. And that really bothered me, to think that some of the thoughts that I might be having are thoughts that are messages from Satan, and I could be using them to spread that message on to others. The commentary went on to say, "Let us ask ourselves, have all our thoughts been taken captive and brought under the control of Christ? Perhaps outwardly we obey Christ, but do we also obey him in our thoughts? Everyone agrees that to speak evil thoughts is wrong, but to keep such thoughts in our minds is also wrong. We can hide our thoughts from each other, but we can't hide our thoughts from God. From time to time, evil thoughts come suddenly into our minds. How can we get rid of these thoughts? Chapter 10:5 says, we can take them captive. That is, we can bring them under the control of Christ. Evil thoughts are Satan's soldiers. We can overcome these thoughts with the spiritual weapons of righteousness, light, and faith, together with the sword of God's word. For example, these evil thoughts might be thoughts of anger, jealousy, greed, unrighteousness, worry. And then there's the thoughts that we have that I'm not good enough, everybody is against me, I can't do this because. You know, the thoughts that convince us we can't do something, or the thoughts that make us fearful or get us to imagine things that are not true. Those thoughts are like birds flying around our heads. We can't stop the birds from flying around our heads, but we can stop them from building nests in our hair. And so that is what we must do. It may take some practice. It may take some of our time in God's word, reminding us what he says about our thoughts and the promises that God is always with us. But we must remember that our God is much bigger than the negative thoughts we can have, and he alone can help us to control our thoughts and line them up with him. Let us pray. We thank you, God, that you are bigger than anything we struggle with. Help us to be focused on you when those thoughts come through our head. Help us to be reminded of who you are and what your promises say in your word. Help us to praise you continually. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.